Speaking of this broken-ass fucking podcast, welcome to Three Angry Nerds, with me, your host, Curtis, with me, as always, Carlos,
hello,
and with me, as always, Corey,
konnichiwa,
and
or should
someone
I say
who might
hola
be joining
Espanol.
The call, yeah, or someone who might be joining the call, Benji, if not, I might come on next week.
Right,
but before we get to news, before we get to the news, we got to talk about our latest sponsor, geekandgamergear.com. So when was the last time someone genuinely complimented you for looking cool? Probably way too long, I bet. Do you want those fresh compliments where hot and sultry Ashley is all like, whoa, you have a Pikachu hat? Or do you want your coworker to be walking around your desk and being like, whoa, is that an Adventure Time plush? Answer, damn right it is. Geekandgamergear.com has all the nerd-friendly styles that you love. So once you have your own personal style picked out, enter nerds at checkout for 10% off their already incredibly low prices. That's how you know this is live. With low prices and free shipping, there's no reason not to check out geekandgamergear.com today. Again, that's geek n as in, I don't know, none. Geekandgamergear.com today. So check them out and level up your swag game. All right, now that we got that plug out of the way,
woo!
Fucking sellouts.
I actually wanted to, but I wanted to say something before we got to the news as well, but it's not a sellout plug like with Curtis.
Okay, I think I worked it out.
So obviously I spoke a little bit of Spanish, just like two words, and it doesn't make sense, those two words. But I wanted to ask you guys something. So apparently I've been alerted to the fact that I allegedly have an accent, okay? I've been told that I have a Wisconsin accent. Like Wisconsin Spanish. By the way, that's the episode title. So
Wisconsin,
I want to ask
Mexican.
You, people of the fan base of Three Angry Nerds, do I have an accent? How would you describe my accent? Do you want me to speak Spanish more often on the podcast? Let me know. Send us an email at threeangrynerdspodcast@gmail.com and, I don't know, put Wisconsin Spanish in the subject line.
Yeah, do that. All right. Is that it, Carlos?
Yeah, I just want to make sure we got
that. I love how we've, like, literally added, like, a quarter-life crisis to your life.
I was already in quarter-life crisis.
Yeah. I think we're all ready to go here. Let's talk first about probably the biggest news of the week, which was that we got our first look at the cast of Guardians of the Galaxy 2. You know, not only that, but there was a press release that confirmed quite a few cast members joining, some of which we've heard about, some of which we haven't heard about. The ones we've heard about definitely are Kurt Russell and Pom Klementieff. I think that's how you say her name. I'm probably wrong. We don't know who they're playing. That's still up in the air. Also added was Chris Sullivan, who I never heard of before, and Elizabeth Debicki.
Debicki?
Join the cast. Yeah, I guess so. Also, too, Glenn Close will be returning as Nova Prime. So, there's that as well. Now, of course, this is all pretty exciting. I think we can all assume Kurt Russell is playing Star-Lord's dad. I mean, is there anybody here that thinks that's not the case?
Nope. That was what he was rumored for, right? So, I mean,
yeah.
It just makes sense. Like, you don't hire a guy like Kurt Russell and he doesn't have...
And he has a look, too.
Cool. Yeah.
Pom Klementieff, she's confirmed to play Mantis. James Gunn confirmed that on Twitter. It wasn't in the press release, but he did that himself.
Yeah, so on Twitter.
Yeah. Chris Sullivan, my guess, probably playing Ego, the Living Planet.
He's got the beard for it.
Yeah.
I was also thinking
that
maybe he could be playing the Supreme Intelligence.
That's another option as well.
But basically,
playing
some sort of disembodied head. We know that much.
I just can't really think of who else he would play. You know, like, everyone else you look at, and something jumps to mind. I feel like Chris Sullivan's that one odd choice where I'm just like, wait, what? But I guess the same thing happened with Karen Gillian when she got cast. I was like, I can't really see who she's playing. But then obviously Nebula had such a great look. And it was almost unrecognizable from who she normally is. So, Elizabeth Debicki. A lot of people have said death. I don't think I agree with that. I think, if I had to wager a guess, I was going to say Phi Lavelle. I don't know. What do you think about that?
I don't think it's going to be death, because I think Mistress Death is... I'm still thinking that, what is it, the unnamed character that Amy Landecker is playing in Doctor Strange is Mistress Death, because...
Yeah.
As Scott Derrickson said on Twitter, like, a way, way back, and nobody paid attention to some reason, even though I thought it was huge, because he said that Doctor Strange will meet death in the movie, and he said that on Twitter. I'm like, that's a pretty big fucking confirmation that, like, nobody fucking paid attention to. And
yeah,
then
no kidding.
Amy Landecker get cast in the movie, but they don't reveal her role, and so I'm like, okay, and also because you have James Gunn saying that Thanos isn't in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, so I think it just makes sense that that's where death is going to be appearing, not in
By the way, I think I see that Benji has joined. Welcome to the podcast, Benji.
Hello.
How's it going?
Oh, it's great. Appreciate being here on the podcast.
Yes, people so, like us do a Southern twang all night.
It's kind of amazing because you made this one appearance in that movie commentary we did, and we got emails being like, who's this Benji guy? It became like this, like, you know, almost like a cameo or in joke of the podcast. Everyone wanted to know who's this Benji guy.
The Three Angry Nerds urban legend.
Yeah. Like if we
that
had a
guy
wiki.
Who knows a lot of shit about wine.
Yeah. So welcome to the podcast, Benji.
Yeah, well, I do appreciate it. You know, I didn't really expect, you know, a lot of people to be interested in just some guy that came out of the backwoods on his knuckles grunting and growling like a caveman.
No, the people were fascinated. They had to know more. So by popular demand, you're here.
It's kind of funny too, because we have people come on the podcast, and like Ben and Andrew, and everyone's always just like, oh, I don't care. But like also, Benji, you have this like probably combined total of like a minute of, you know, time in that episode, and everyone's like, who's this Benji guy? I gotta learn more about him.
This is natural manly charisma.
I guess so. So, I like I said, I think that we're probably getting. I had the notes up here. Where'd they go? I imagine Elizabeth Debicki is probably playing Phi Lavelle, and I agree with you, Carlos. That yeah, I think Mistress Death just seems off for this,
especially regarding the galaxy.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's necessarily wrong to assume that she. Couldn't show up. I mean, maybe she could.
Thanos was going to be in the movie, but I mean, like, James Gunn did a big deal about him not being there. And then on top of that, that Scott Derrickson thing, I'm like, okay, we know where Death is appearing. She's appearing in Doctor Strange. So, yeah. I mean, you should be looking at that cast, and there's only one person in that cast that makes sense for Mistress Death, so.
Right.
Yeah. And I think Phi Lavelle also, too, I mean, very strong female character in the comics, and I think she'd make a great fit in the movie, so I think that's part of it. Kesar, I guess she's known as the comic. Carlos, you might know better, but I think she's known as Kesar in the comic.
She's had a couple different names, yeah, but Death Quasar is one of them, yeah.
Yeah.
She made an appearance, like, for people who are sort of wondering, like, if they've seen her in, like, alternate media outside of comics. She was a member of the Guardians of the Galaxy team that made a one-episode appearance in Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes alongside Adam Locke.
Yeah. I think that's where a lot of people were like,
so if
got introduced to the Guardians in general.
If you've seen that cartoon, then you've seen that character before. Just like not a big comics person.
I want to throw this question to superstar guest on the podcast, Benji. But Benji, what did you think of the first Guardians of the Galaxy?
Oh, really? I mean, I wasn't really expecting much from it because, you know, I was kind of new to the whole Marvel thing, but now I've grown more and more to loving Marvel, and when I was first watching it, I really loved just how it was and just how it presented as just being this whole, you know, ball out of the ballpark kind of thing, saying like, oh, let's throw an entire galaxy into just like this whole, you know, Marvel Cinematic Universe. I didn't really expect much, but just watching it, and I was just like, wow, Marvel Cinematic Universe has done a lot just to present just a big portion of just this universe in just one movie, and just and make us, it made me water at the mouth just thinking about how they're going to collide with just the Avengers and how it's going to go with the Infinity Wars, and just think like, God, this is going to be like an orgasm for the eyes when it comes to theater.
I think so.
I like the way you put things.
Yeah.
But it's got a point. I think that was a huge reason why so many people were drawn to Guardians, was because, like, it was, like, you can tell it's part of the cinematic universe, but it introduced so many new aspects of it, and it showed you a whole part of it you hadn't seen before.
Yes, very vibrant.
Pulled back with introducing a bevy of new elements to the world, right?
Yeah.
And on top of that, it was very entertaining, and it had characters you could get invested in.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm like, that's just a winning combination. That's why Marvel...
Fantastic soundtrack.
Oh, God. Like, I think, Carlos, you and I both were, like, listening to that soundtrack for,
Oh, my God. I was listening to Awesome Mix for months.
Oh, okay. Me too. I'll put on at work and just jam out.
So the thing is, too, is it didn't feel like a soundtrack. It felt like, you know, well, like it was like a mixtape.
Exactly. It just, it just felt like this fire mixtape that somebody made.
I always say, too, like, I remember it was 2008. I walk into this comic book shop, and I ask the guy, what's cool? And he's like, I have this comic. It's got a raccoon in it, a big tree. And I'm like, huh. Oh, whatever. It wasn't, like, that expensive. I'll buy it. And I read through it, and I was so hooked. And the whole time I'm thinking, like, this is so crazy. This is never going to be a movie. This is, like, way too much. Like, you'll get Spider-Man. You'll get the X-Men. You're never going to get these crazy assholes. It's just too much. And then they make a movie, and I feel like Guardians, I always have that little personal attachment to ever since I read that comic. And then fucking Corey and Carlos just shit all over my heart and soul.
The whole MCU is good, so ranking it.
Except Iron Man 2.
Except Iron Man 2.
Yeah.
There always has to be one that just sort of stands out as like that, like the one.
There is always one. See, what else we want to talk about? I guess any fleeting thoughts on this casting before we move on?
Nope.
No, just Kurt Russell. Fuck yeah, bring it on.
Kurt Russell. Fuck yeah. There you go.
Yeah. I think he might be playing Eros, the brother of Thanos.
Yes.
I think that's how you say his name.
I'm pretty sure he's playing Luke Skywalker.
False. All right. Next up is we got our first official season 2 trailer for Daredevil. Yeah, finally. I mean, it took them like how long, right? Like, gosh. Like, I think we all knew that it was going to be good. I don't think there was a lot of doubt out there, but man, that trailer was just awesome.
I mean, it tops every other Daredevil trailer to be honest.
I agree. And, you know, I can hear the DC fans already, like, punching their computer. But, like, I buy into the battle between Daredevil and Punisher a lot more than I buy into Batman v Superman. Sorry, guys.
Bruce talking some shit.
But it's true, though.
But it's true, though, because, like, really, you know, DC just wants to force fans into the movie theater by saying, like, oh, we're going to make this big old dramatic introduction of Batman versus Superman in the second movie. And, like, literally won't try to say, like, top that, Marvel.
But I knew there was a reason why I liked Benji.
He knows what he's talking about, right?
Right, yeah. He knows his shit. He's a movie buff. And a comic buff.
I know we've reiterated that point before, but he's completely right. Like, pushing too... Like, I know I was just talking about Guardians introducing so many elements, and, like, it's, you can do that, but introducing them, like, in a natural way rather than saying, like, oh, hey, we're going to introduce every fucking hero that exists in this universe in one movie. It's like, oh, yeah. Excuse me. And, again, in the second film of the universe and not, like, the 10th or the 11th film.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, what else did you guys like about the trailer? I like
John Bernthal.
Oh, God. I'm glad that he's getting his own show. I feel like that just makes sense.
Yeah.
So.
I was going to say, I was watching this like, okay, I mean, like, I watched the trailer a stupid amount of times, but, like,
me too.
When I was watching it, I finally, it's not that I was ever worried about the season at all, because, I mean, I love the first season, and I know that for the most part it's the same people working, like, again, like, the writers on the first season are now the showrunners, and, like, I don't, and, like, I'm sure it's going to be fine, but I was still a little bit, like, myth because, I mean, they didn't announce an actual, like, villain for the show. They're just like, it's just going to be, you know, Daredevil and Punisher and Elektra, and there's going to be a story or whatever. But after seeing that trailer, I'm like, I'm not bothered by that idea at all now, because, like, I feel like they're taking this story in an interesting direction, and they're doing something unexpected by making this more of, again, like, sort of like a... what is it, like a moral conflicts type deal rather than hero versus villain, right?
Yeah.
And I get it's sort of interesting because, I mean, like, this is happening at the same time that Civil War is happening, you know, but, I mean, when I was watching that, I was like, this is exactly the tone that this type of conflict between these two characters needs to have. And I think that they can sort of use it as, like, a Sado pilot for the Punisher, or, like, a trial run for, like, the Punisher series. But, I mean, I really think this is going to work. And, I mean, just there was nothing about that trailer that made me be all like, oh, what the hell is this? Like, no, like, you see some stuff about, you know, Punisher's backstory. You know, you see little bits and pieces about, like, what's going to be happening with Matt and Karen and Foggy. And you see Brett Mahoney. And I'm like, it's Brett Mahoney, yeah! I can love that guy. And, you know, and...
He doesn't get shot again.
What?
He doesn't get shot.
I hope not. They're like, we have to kill off one black character per season.
It's tradition.
It's already become tradition in Marvel Netflix. We have to kill off a cool black character every season. And then you have Elektra at the end. You're just like, hello, Matthew. And you're just like, oh my god, it's Trailer.
Yeah. Sorry about Jennifer Garner.
Yeah. I don't know. I think for me, what really sold it was that I think the Punisher is going to have a lot of great lines. I mean, there was already two in the trailer that I was like, those are awesome. The one was when he goes, you hit people, they go down, they get back up. But when I hit people, they stay down. And the other one was, you're one bad day away from being me, which I thought
was
awesome.
That delivery.
Yeah, it's the way he says it, too, that just...
And I like how, like, when he uses a gruff voice, it works. Because I know, like, a lot of people like make fun of gruff voices nowadays, thanks to Bale's Batman. But that felt unnatural. But coming from John, it felt natural. It felt threatening. I felt dread every time I watched him.
I will say the one line delivery that I wasn't 100% on was actually the first one when he's like the one batch, two batch thing with like the little kids rhyme.
Oh, the nursery rhyme, yeah.
Yeah, the nursery rhyme thing. I was a little bit like, I wasn't even sure if it was him at first. I was like, who's talking? And then I realized, okay. But then the voice sounded great the rest of it. So I was like, I guess I can forgive that.
Yeah, but I think with him saying that, I think that's what kind of like pushes him, because like there's a lot of ways for, you know, the Punisher to be pushed to that edge, but I think just the idea of just having him like think of the story he would read to his daughter every night before she puts him to bed is that it's something to push him out there and make him want to do this horrible deed by killing so many people. And it's just the fact that it's not him wanting to do it, but it's just the fact that it's him wanting to find some kind of peace for himself by, you know, him having to bury his family, but also having just to bury his feelings about just what happened to him.
Oh yeah, I agree with the idea of like him doing that. I was just 100%. I wasn't really behind the way he delivered that line. Like, it just sounded odd to me with his voice.
It sounded like Pee Wee Herman trying to sound rough.
I hope he's not going to do his daughter like that voice.
One match. Two match. He's like,
Dad, you're scaring me.
Now go to bed.
Yeah. I'm the Punisher.
At least it's not as bad as Firestorm. Or not Firestorm. The other fire guy in Legends of Tomorrow. I forget his name.
Ah, shit. Pyro.
You forget.
No,
Pyro. I'm like, wait, are the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants?
Dominic
Purcell.
Heatwave.
Yeah, Heatwave, yeah. Where he's, like, doing his worst impression of a Batman, Bale Batman voice. It's like, no, dude.
You can't.
You can tell that somebody was like, hey, man, just sound like Bale's Batman. And he's like, I can do that. And then it's just terrible. It's like every possible way it's terrible. Anyways. I guess that's it for Daredevil.
Oh, also, I like how they announced when the next trailer's coming out. I like that, the part two.
Yep.
I'm like, why don't you just release it all at once?
Coming out, idiot.
I thought that was kind of a dick move, to be honest, but...
But the first trailer is so good, I'm still looking forward to it.
I'm just like, why don't you just release it all as one trailer?
Yeah.
Because they have the footage.
You can make the whole trailer like 4 or 5 minutes long. I'm like, just release the whole goddamn thing. Especially because they've been holding out on us for so long.
That they have.
Yeah, they gotta keep the hype coming.
The hype's right. Already there. Just fucking show us the trailer.
No, they gotta smooth the waves. They gotta spread it out evenly.
Yeah, they gotta make you get on your hands and knees and want you to beg for it like some dirty girl or something.
Oh my god.
Okay. What do we got up next here?
I feel so dirty all of a sudden.
Whenever I'm doing this podcast, I feel dirty. It's just how this podcast goes. Computer scientist.
Oh, God. I don't know what this is. I can't believe you put this shit on here.
Hey, man. You can't go wrong with science or computers.
It's not science. Even Josh fucking Wiley in his own goddamn article tried to disprove this, but just clickbait. That's all it was.
That's not clickbait.
It is complete clickbait.
We just clickbait our own podcast.
I think
it's bullshit.
It's funny that we haven't even read the news.
I read
the
news.
And he's already calling it clickbait.
It is clickbait. That's even Josh fucking Wilding.
You just went full Wilding.
Yes.
Curtis, you just went full Wilding.
Yep, Curtis and Chris.
Computer scientists predict that Batman v Superman has a 32% chance of not making a profit. Or sorry, of making a profit. Yeah.
So, I like how you know this news so well, Corey.
Well, I read it once. It's just bullshit clickbait article. Josh Wiley needed to pay some bills, and he figured this would be the great way to do it.
Says the hardcore DC fan.
Bills, apparently. He needs to pay his fucking dominatrix or something.
He needs that $700 each article. Remember when he told us that? Or were you there, Carlos?
Was that I think I may have been not present at the moment, because wasn't that when somebody
got him
made
off.
The parody account on Twitter right after, and you guys told me about it after the fact?
Something like that.
I wasn't there for the original conversation.
Because I remember Heise got him kicked off, and he came back, and he's like, I make $700 an article, blah, blah, blah. That's cool. Anyways, they predict that BVS has a 32% chance of making a profit.
Based off faulty science.
Okay, man. That's what you say.
That is. Even Josh Wiley in an article admitted it.
Well, Josh Wilding just wants $700 an article.
That's why he made this freaking article, which is nonsense.
Anyways. I like the science.
No, kind of science of course I can get behind. You like the science. You've been showing this movie since the very get-go.
Because Curtis is biased.
As fuck.
Well... if that was clickbait, wait till we talk about the next bit of news. Latino Review says that BVS will be, quote-unquote, as divisive as Man of Steel.
Well, he talked to a guy who said it could be as divisive because he liked Man of Steel. He knows a lot of people didn't.
Yeah. So, I think it's all coming to a head, man. Batman v Superman. It's going to fail.
It's not going to fail.
Sorry, Corey.
It's not going to fail. It can't.
No, you know what's already. You know what's gonna save it?
What?
It's gonna be Clark and Lois's tub time. It's gonna become a meme or something.
But you know what? The whole DC universe is gonna pull a TASM universe and just they'll be like, "Oh, we have all these movies coming out." Not.
Well, they do have movies coming out. I mean, we already have Suicide Squad coming in. That looks great.
What if
Wonder Woman gets canceled?
Movies come out and they're just sort of okay, and they're not controversial, and nobody talks about them anymore.
That can't happen, Carlos. You know that.
All right, Benji, what do you think about this?
What if they just come out and it doesn't cause any more flame wars? Because they're just goodish. They're not amazing. They're not bad. They're just sort of good, okay, and everyone's like, oh, okay, I guess we can go home.
So Benji, what do you think of Batman v Superman? Are you excited for it?
You already said you already talked about this.
Oh, did he?
No, he talked about like the main conflict. He didn't just talk about if he's getting excited for it or not.
Well, I'm excited for it because it's like literally like 2 days, or wait, is it two, or what is it, 2-3 days before my birthday? 2 days before my birthday, and you know, me and Corey talked about it early. I told him because I got like a can of orange hairspray, and I was thinking about just, you know, paint my hair orange and go and see Batman versus Superman with orange hair.
No, I told him I was not going to go with him if he did that.
It's kind of amazing. Like, you know, people will be like, I'm dressing up as this character for the cops. You're just like, orange hair. Do it. I love that.
I'm dressing up as the guy that shot up all the people.
Yes, the Dark Knight as the shooting.
Benji, that might just be the greatest joke someone's ever made on this podcast. That's saying a lot.
Not quite joking, I don't think.
Yeah, I'm autistic, so I kind of take things seriously. So, yeah, nope. When I go see it, I'm having orange hair.
That's awesome.
I've already told everybody at work I'm doing it, and they're like, they're itchy about it.
You got to get up and be like, yeah, I got to go to my car to go grab a few things.
Or just better yet, just go take the exit door. And just like, just go to the exit door and just walk back in through the exit door and just like, everybody get down.
Hey guys, I've already heard that this movie's going to be a blast. I've heard people are dying to see it. God damn it. This is probably the worst thing that's been said on this podcast. And that's saying a lot, too.
It's just going to leave the kids dying in their seats.
Oh, God, guys.
Corey, I'm so glad that you brought Benji out.
Uh huh. No, you two belong together.
Podcast.
This is great. Oh man. All right. I'm sure we're gonna get like hundreds of emails being like, "Is Benji the greatest thing that happened to this podcast?" I'll be like, "Yeah." Sorry, Carlos. Yeah,
I'm sure we'll be pumped to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually had to call in sick to actually do this podcast today.
Did you really call in sick?
Yeah, I was like, because I had to like get my tax refund check. I don't know how it works up in Canada for y'all, because I know it's like it's much better up there and everything. And y'all get the marijuana and the free health care and everything. But you know, we had to get like, the government thinks we deserve like a little smidge of something every year, and basically just blow our money at Walmart or some shit like that. And that's basically all I did. But that's what I had to do. I had to call in sick to get my check, and then went to go see Deadpool, and then do this podcast.
I think that sounds like the greatest day off ever.
Yeah.
Well, up here in Canada, I can write off the cost of this podcast as an artistic endeavor, which I find amazing, because there's nothing artistic about this podcast. It's autistic, sure, but not artistic. Get it?
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. Finally got some Dark Tower news, finally.
I'm still amazed that this movie is happening, to be honest. But
after, like, 10 years development hell?
Yeah.
It's kind of, weird, right? But let's just see here. Abby Lee will play Tarana. Idris Elba will play Roland, the main character. And Matthew McConaughey will be playing the villain, the Man in Black, so.
All right.
It's a great cast.
Excellent Matt impression.
Yeah, that actually was really well, good. Yeah, I like that.
Exactly what we're looking for.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this movie. This is one of those movies I'm kind of like, I need to see footage from it before I can render a verdict, but.
I mean, it couldn't be as bad as Maxima Overdrive, at least.
Oh, God. You showed me that. It was god-awful.
It could be as good as The Room. Tommy Wiseau.
You are tearing me apart, Lisa.
Oh, hi, Mark.
No, that's not being fair. Batman v Superman will be the new room. The room.
Tommy Wiseau is Batman, and then that weird creepy kid being Superman.
I think his name is Dennis.
Yeah.
He was supposed to be retarded. He didn't even know.
That's bullshit.
Did anybody know?
Hit her. I did not. Oh, hi, Superman.
That's great. I was walking, you know, because I live in Vancouver, so I was walking down the street, and the steer goes, oh, tonight we're going to have a showing of the room followed by a Q&A with Tommy Wiseau. And I'm like, how much does this cost? And they're like, $20. And for like only a brief moment was I like, is it really worth $20 to go see Tommy Wiseau? Of course it is.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, it's worth $200. I'd pay that much to go see the man.
He has a show now, too.
And I remember, like, this is when the podcast was still pretty, you know, young. I was like, hey, you should come on this podcast. And he's like, I don't know. This podcast is kind of a new thing for me. I'd have to listen to it. And I'm like, fuck, he's going to listen to our podcast, and then he's definitely not going to come on. Sure enough, I told him to check it out, and he never came on, so... You know we're bad when not even Tommy Wiseau wants to come on the podcast. Balls.
Well, I mean, hell, the guy's basically old as a fucking dinosaur. He probably didn't even know how to turn on a computer.
Yeah. He's like, what's a podcast? Do I just, like...
Do I fuck it in the belly button?
Peas at a computer? Is that how this works? Is it a pot of peas? Anyways. Are you guys excited for Dark Tower, Carlos?
I guess. I mean, I'd be fascinated that it's happening, but I mean, it's got a pretty dynamite cast so far, so
yeah,
you sort of have to be somewhat interested.
True, yeah. But Stephen King films don't have the best track record. That's what worries me.
Yeah,
as long as he's not writing it, because he can't write his own movies. Based on those books, they're so stupid.
Yeah. Next up, some more Batman v Superman news.
Nice.
There's some spoilers. So, if you guys don't want your spoilers, you don't want to be spoiled.
Well, to be fair, this has been rumored for a while, so it's not really a spoiler.
It says the guy who was like, someone's being rumored to die in Civil War. Oh, no.
No, they rumored everyone to die in Civil War.
They really did.
Like, boy, and then you're like, rumored Spider-Man to die in Civil War.
And then you're like, wait, YouPorn is not sponsoring the podcast, Kurt? Or no, it's Pornhub.
Did you call it Porncast?
Pornhub.
Oh.
We should start a new podcast called Porncast.
Oh, God. What would we do? We just like look at Pornhub's like the latest videos and critique them?
We'd hang out on Chatterbait and we would podcast our reactions to Chatterbait.
Oh, God.
This week's episode, we're going to talk about Asian MILFs, the pros and the cons.
What about double penetration? Which hole do you choose? Pro, you get it in the vagina or the ass. On, you're probably going to rub balls against the other guy.
That really should be like a poll that we put up on our podcast Facebook page. If you were to do double penetration, which hole would you
choose?
Which
hole do you take?
God.
Or do you go with the mouth, where you're just clear of any balls? Anything, really. Alright. Anyways. On to something just as weird. Magazine listed Jenna Malone as Barbara Gordon / Batgirl, and Scoot McNairy as Jimmy Olsen, which was long rumored.
Yep.
And then I said, of course, in BVS, they're going to have Jimmy Olsen be like a gritty reboot of Jimmy where he's basically playing a homeless person. Of course. Anyways. Not that surprising, I guess. I know everyone was wondering who this guy was playing. Some people were saying Metallo, and other people were saying...
Some people even said The Flash.
Yeah, some people were saying that.
Because the green socks.
Yeah. Anyways, we'll move on. Julianne Moore is a pretty good actress. She's been in a lot of good stuff.
She needs to be in everything.
She was in The Big Lebowski, which will automatically get her cred for the rest of her life, because that movie's awesome. Anyways, she's going to be playing the villain in Kingsman 2. So that's pretty awesome.
I still haven't seen the first Kingsman. Probably have to. You need to.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I already tried talking him into watching it. He was like, eh, maybe later.
Don't listen to Carlos. It doesn't suck. Carlos just sucks. Because he doesn't like it.
That's mean, Curtis.
Oh, he's
all,
just...
all of Matthew Vaughn's directed CBMs are aggressively mediocre.
Okay, here's to give you an idea. You know, when it, around when it first came out, Carlos was like, hey, it's not bad. It's probably his best film. Then, like, 6 months later, Carlos was like, it's a piece of shit. Fucking movie sucks. And I'm like, dude, you, like, liked it 6 months ago.
I didn't like it. I was just sort of like, yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, okay. Okay, then. Anyways, Kingsman 2. Benji, what do you think of this news?
Oh, I think it's great. I love the first Kingsman because it just, like, because I just love, like, how Matthew Vaughn just does his own twist on, you know, comic to movie, you know, comic book movies. Because I think it's just, like, because he just don't want it to be, like, made right from the source. Because he knows it's not going to settle right. But he just wants to make it, like, right for a cinematic taste. Like, I just enjoyed, like, all the action scenes. I just enjoyed all the little, like, filthy jokes. I enjoyed how, like, the guy got to fuck that princess at the end, you know.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, no, this is my first time here, and I enjoy it. I enjoyed Julianne Moore. I enjoy like seeing, like, you know, how you see her in some movie, and you get to see, like, her nipples and stuff, and I'm like, that's great.
Yeah. No, I'm excited for this. I just kind of want to wonder, like, you know, Samuel L. Jackson, the first one, his whole, like, shtick was that, you know, he could not see any violence, otherwise he would throw up. So I wonder what, like, her deal is going to be.
Maybe she's really turned on by violence. She just can't handle it. She just has to have, like, a dildo at hand. Like, oh my god, somebody's getting her eyeball freaked out. Give me my dildo.
That's crazy enough. It actually may happen. I would not be surprised. Yeah. Well, little twist on the first movie. Corey, I love, like, you've been sighing so much this podcast. You're just like...
Like, why did this even happen?
He's the one that wanted me to come on here.
Yeah, because I knew he'd have fun, have a good time, and he has, I hope.
Oh, yeah. I know you're going to bitch me out later, though.
Nah, you're fine.
You're going to be like that stepdad that beats their kid that went away from public. Like, why'd you even fucking embarrass me? God damn it. I don't want you to hear, I don't want to hear shit about you on a popsicle. Fuck.
Yeah.
Dead.
If we didn't already have an episode title for this week, Corey is an abusive dad would be a great one.
Oh, come on. I would rather not have that as a title.
I'd rather not have that on the internet, please. Or, like, remember one that we suggested one time, Curtis is a Nazi? You're like, oh, this doesn't sound like a very good idea.
Yeah, like, yeah, I don't want someone Googling that. That will probably come back and haunt me. You know. Anyways.
Well, speaking of, you can't haunt people, though.
Speaking of awesome action movies, we finally got some news on the sequel to John Wick. It's called John Wick Chapter 2. I think it's an awesome title.
That's a great title.
Yeah. Instead of just being like John Wick 2 or John Wick.
It's classy.
Yeah. Could have been a lot weirder and dumber. So I like that title. But it has a release date, February 10th, 2017. So pretty much coming out at the same time that Deadpool came out this year. And we'll talk about how well Deadpool did, but I think it's going to show that you can have a movie out in February now and it'll do okay. People still see movies in February, even though, you know, people seem to think that we don't. Like, oh no, nobody wants to go see a movie in February. They're too busy watching Netflix or whatever. Yeah, you guys excited for this?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yes, I love John Wick.
Who was the person that was cast in it recently? I can't even remember. Anyone?
No. I don't know.
John Wick 2 villain. Doing this live. We're gonna do it live. Oh, it's the rapper Common. That's who it is. Totally forgot. Anyways, yeah. That's coming in a year. Let's get excited. It's kind of funny, too, because my grandpa really loves that movie. It's kind of funny.
What's so intimidating about Common?
Sorry?
What's so intimidating about Common? It's like, all he's got is like a mediocre rap career behind him and a mediocre acting career behind him.
And a weird-looking beard.
Yeah. I hope he gets shot in the head.
Yeah. Now, if they really wanted a rapper to play a villain, Suge Knight would be the clear front runner for that.
Yeah, pretty sure he'd be too busy behind bars.
Suge Knight is literally like the real life villain of the rap world.
I can believe that.
Well, that's not fair though. He can't drive his car throughout the whole movie.
Goddamn, Benji with these just awesome little jokes. All right, some Star Wars news. We got our first footage from the film from episode 8.
But like, this has to be the fastest teaser trailer ever. Like, one day of shooting and they have a teaser trailer.
And not only that, it's pretty much like the least exciting teaser ever. It's basically the scene that we already saw, but shot by a different director. Yeah. People are like, well, wait, it's sunnier now than when they filmed it last. And it's like, well, yeah, because they filmed it like months ago.
You know, like, shit.
Maybe even a year ago. Of course, it's going to look different. Anyways, got some casting news. Laura Dern and Kelly Marie Tran have officially joined the movie.
Oh, sorry.
Funny, Corey.
I was just, they could show me this series of called Dr. Tran on YouTube recently.
Oh,
okay. So this poor little Chinese kid just gets thrown into these crazy situations, and everyone thinks he's like this awesome, badass actor dash secret agent who fucks people's mothers and enjoys it.
Interesting. Anyways, I think Laura Dern's probably playing Luke's like wife,
Margie.
Yeah, I mean, she'd be the right age for that. I got to the point this week when it got announced that I was doing research to see how old Laura Dern and Mark Hamill are. She's like 13 years younger than him, but I mean, makes more sense than 20-year-old or something, I guess. I don't know. Who do you think she's playing, Carlos?
I just said Mara Jade.
You think so?
Yeah.
We're in agreement. Or at the very least,
when I saw Laura Dern and I was like, oh my god, she'd be perfect for Mara Jade if that's the route they were going to go. Right? I'm like,
hell, it's either going to be Mara Jade or they're going to do like what they did with Ben Skywalker and have him be like similar to a character from the
expanded universe. I see them also doing that. Like, they said that they're open to reintroducing some expanded universe characters. But the thing is that I feel like, because again, like, obviously people were like, why didn't you just call him Jason Solo if it's basically going to be a similar type of character? But the thing is that I feel that Mara Jade is, in terms of, like, the expanded universe characters that, like, just people know, Mara Jade is way higher on the list than Jason Solo. Like, I imagine, like, there's only a handful of expanded universe Star Wars characters that, like, everyday people might actually be at least somewhat aware of, and Mara Jade is one of them, right? So, I mean, if there's a character that you're going to have that you're just going to keep and just introduce into the film universe from the expanded universe, she would be one of them. So,
yeah,
that's my thoughts on that.
I think, you know, they could definitely do it as, here's Mara Jade. I mean, at the very least, could always just be, yeah, that they're like, oh, here's Luke's wife, and
she has Rey's name, which could work. But I'm just saying is that I think that it's definitely a possibility that they'll just use that character and be like, hey, look who it is, and a lot of old school Star Wars fans will be like, oh my god, look who it is.
And somebody did this like weird Photoshop thing where they like got like this like image of what like a child between Laura Dern and Mark Hamill would look like at what's her name? Daisy Ridley's age. It looked very accurate. Like it looked very similar. So I was like, okay. What you're like, saying is that
science.
Yeah. But then here Corey's gonna be like, well, science is wrong. The Earth's flat. BVS doesn't have a 32% chance of making a profit.
Yeah, no, that science was wrong.
He's like, okay,
wait. Oh, that science is wrong.
Yes, even okay. The
sun revolves around the Earth. The Earth
okay,
is
Mr.
flat.
Creationist.
BVS will be a success.
You getting salty, bro?
Not as salty as you were last week.
Whoa!
We're throwing some shade.
Some Mara shade.
Uh-huh. 2 out of 10. 2 out of 10, Groot.
Jeremy Harris has joined Legion as a character that nobody knows from the comics. So
you like Legion?
Yeah. I don't know anything about this guy.
Who?
Yeah. I saw this, I'm like, okay, well, I'm excited for Legion, but I don't really care about this guy. So whatever. Anybody else have thoughts?
No.
Or Legion? Nope. Benji, are you excited for Legion?
I'm going to have to get a little update on that. I particularly don't know what that is.
Okay. Well, Legion as a character, he has split personality disorder, and each of his personalities gives him a different power. So, Basically, he's a crazy person with a bunch of different powers. So,
That sounds pretty handy, and I guess the whole Legion name come from the Bible, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited for it, but
I mean, that sounds interesting and everything. I think that brings like a new kind of a new character in a way that he'd probably be the most unpredictable kind of character because you don't know whether he'll be good or bad or just be batshit crazy.
Yeah. You know, that's the thing, right? All these superhero shows and movies like Daredevil, a good example. They're like, oh, is he crazy? Is he crossing the line? It's like, no, you know he's Daredevil. You know he's not, like, really crazy. But Legion, it's like, no, he actually is crazy. Could be just totally weird dude off the charts. Let's talk about Wolverine 3. There was a leaked image this week that suggests that it'll be an R-rated film.
Oh, well, so. Finally. God damn it.
Yeah. Nice.
I'm excited. But I'm also kind of excited because I was thinking about it. I'm like, well, what kind of story could they do that would definitely be R-rated? And I'm thinking, Old Man Logan is pretty hard R in terms of, like, violence, sexual content.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah. So that's why, if this is not Old Man Logan, I would honestly be shocked. Because at this point, the R rating, Hugh Jackman suggested it as such. I mean, I think at this point, it's a done deal. Plus, it's Hugh's last...
it's his last hurrah, yeah.
Unless he decides to not give up.
Yes, and I see him finally go, ouch, and it to be look good.
Not make it mediocre like the other two.
There you go, Carlos. Somebody else who agrees with you about the X-Men.
Fuck yeah.
What else we got going here? Deadpool. Shattering some box office records. It beat the last movie to make a decent amount of money around Valentine's Day, which was 50 Shades of Shit. Which, by the way, I feel like we have a massive improvement because last year I saw Kingsman with Megan for Valentine's Day, and then today we saw Deadpool. We have yet to see a romantic movie like 50 Shades of Shit, you know, for Valentine's Day. Anyways, yeah, Deadpool is doing really well, which will lead us into our spoiler chat. We're going to talk about the film, except for Carlos. Because Carlos, I was like, hey, man, you should watch Deadpool because we're going to talk about it. He's like, yeah, can you send me a link? I'll check it out. Never watches it. What does he do? Take a wild guess, listeners. You can figure out what he did. Write fanfic. Instead of watching Deadpool.
Probably better use of his time, to be honest.
Corey. Corey already starting this spoiler chat on a salty note.
Well, I know how he's going to probably feel about it.
Okay. Well, that's fair.
I'm just thinking, why waste his time? I just do something like he'll actually enjoy and make something good come out of it.
Yeah, like, exactly.
So, I reviewed the movie a couple weeks ago because I got to see it earlier. But, Corey, you've now seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And Benji, you've seen it. So, I figure we're going to have no restraints on spoilers now. So,
yes,
Carlos, I don't think you care. But some listeners may care. So this is it, guys. Last chance. Still with us? All right. Let's spoil the shit out of Deadpool. First off, let's start with Corey. Corey, what did you think of this movie?
Well, I think it's a very good movie. I'm surprised at how much they were able to do with the budget they had. It just, the fact that it was as cheap as it was and it still turned out better, like, just special effects and story and the setting, so much better than Fantastic. Like, oh my god, it's all I could think of when I was watching this film.
Yeah.
Hey, this is $56 million. How much should Fantastic have? Like, $120 million?
Pretty low fucking bar, Corey.
Yeah.
Well, I know it's a low bar. I'm just saying, like, compared to like how much money they spent on that movie, and it turned out to be so bad in terms of everything else, and Deadpool with $56 million doing as well as it did, yeah, I just thought it was very nice, very cool. Okay.
Benji, what did you think?
I think Deadpool just is going to, in all honesty, it's bringing in a new kind of idea of what a superhero movie can be, or better yet, what an anti-hero movie can be, and just what an R-rated comic book movie can be as well. And it will just bring so many more ideas into just the fact that we can have like a comic book movie that is just not all like gritty and dark and brooding. We can actually just sit in the movie. We can just chuckle through the whole movie and we just be like,
yeah.
Oh yeah, we don't have to really feel sorry for Deadpool because he's just because what he's gone through, he's still a fucking fantastic character. We don't have to feel sorry for him because even though he looks like
he was bitten by a radioactive Sharpei.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He looks like my testicles after I shave them, and he still is a great guy.
Yeah.
Also, I just want to go out here. I'm going to say kudos to Fox for making this movie of all people.
I mean, they definitely took a lot of risk with this movie, and ultimately it paid off. I mean, even more so than Days of Future Past.
I know a lot of people. It embraced its character, and it seems much stronger than any Foxman film. That's sad.
I think, you know, now that we can talk about spoilers, the one thing that, for me, I enjoyed the most about this movie was there's always these parts where you figure, like, are they going to go all the way? And they totally do. Like, the best example of it is, you know, at the end, Ajax has been defeated, and, you know, Deadpool's got a gun at him, and Colossus is like, no, Deadpool, be the better man. Don't kill Ajax. And just when you think Deadpool's going to, like, not shoot him, Deadpool just blasts his fucking head off. And it's just like,
you were droning on.
Yeah. And it was just so well done. Colossus is like, think about being a hero. Think about your responsibilities. Just that's it. And I was just like, that's fucking awesome. And that was like basically what the movie did. Basically, the movie's just like, hey, this is what you expect of the character or of comic book movies as a whole. Nope, we're gonna totally break the trend here.
I don't know if it necessarily broke the trend, actually. I mean, as good as it was, as much as Deadpool does a good job at making fun of the various superhero tropes, I don't think it really did enough. I think it could have done better with that.
Well, I think they were trying to make fun of it.
It followed the tropes, though, which was kind of bugged me.
I feel like they're kind of making fun of it at the same time.
Yeah, I feel like they could have gone deeper with that. They could have had more fun with it, I think. But I am looking forward to the sequel. I think they'll do more with that since Deadpool cannot be so successful.
Yeah. I'm excited for the sequel.
Oh, yeah, me too. I'm looking forward to what it's building on now. And now we got the origin story out of the way, the characters' introductions out of the way. And we just look forward to what's coming next, like Cable.
Yeah.
Which was great. So after credits scene, being sent out to Ferris Bueller. That was great.
Yeah, it was great. So what was like your favorite moment of the movie, Corey?
It's probably got to be when he's just trying to attack Colossus because he got so pissed. And like he's just breaking everything. He breaks both arms, like the T-Rex is the mightiest of the dinosaurs, and swirls around and tries to kick him in the head. And he just breaks.
That's great.
Oh man.
All right. Benji, what was your favorite moment in the film?
In all honesty, I know it's probably not a big favorite moment, but I think it's something you gotta sit and think on, honestly. It's like, you know, because like we literally had to watch Days of Future Past and literally have to see this whole like X-Men cinematic universe literally be like twisted and have a new timeline to it and everything. And I liked how just like when it came to Deadpool, or you know, when Wade Wilson being brought into mutation being forced out of him and everything, I thought that was a very smart idea, because in all honesty, when I had to like explain to people like how Deadpool gets his power, that's a lot to put into a 2-hour movie, just that whole like backstory of like Weapon X and how like Wolverine is the healing factors contributed to Deadpool. And I think that's a lot to fucking explain, but I just think it's just so smart to just think like, oh, we'll just have like Wade Wilson have his own mutation. His own mutation is a healing factor, but it has to be like literally forced out of him through like very, very torturous, you know, regiment. And I thought that was a smart idea. I thought
it
helped just
simplify it to make it easier to explain.
Yeah.
Another one I liked. It was more quiet, more personal moment. Like when Wade finds out that he has cancer and he's mulling over what it's gonna do to Vanessa, and just like see him in the dark actually starting to tear up and cry as he really thinks about it, and it may force him to choose to finally leave and go try to get himself help from the government guy who offered him his chance to become a superhero and get himself cured. I thought that was a very, very poignant moment for him.
Oh yeah,
Ryan Reynolds does great in this film. I mean, he is clearly he had passion for this.
Yeah, oh definitely. Carlos, your favorite part of the movie was not watching it.
My favorite part of the movie was when it was over.
Lols.
No, I haven't seen it.
Okay,
Deadpool's a terrible character.
I mean, to each his own, man. You can't judge him for it. You know, like there's a lot of people that probably don't agree with a lot of things. Like, you know, Deadpool's probably kind of ruined the whole factor of like what it means to be a true superhero with true morals. You know, I mean, that's probably a lot of people don't agree with that. Hell, like a lot of like major comic book writers don't agree with that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I guess that's it. Let's talk about.
That's it? Really?
Yeah. I guess we got emails.
Like how many emails we got this week?
3.
Oh. Can't keep talking about the movie. Talk about these 3 emails. Okay.
Well, I haven't checked the email. We probably have more. But when I was making the notes, there was only 3.
Oh, also, Miranda Bachrann was awesome. I loved her.
Yeah, she was pretty hot.
And yes, in the first scene, in her sex scenes with Thanksgiving and then Chinese New Year and the Women's Independence Day. What was it called?
I don't know. I think that was it.
No, I sure like her in spandex. That was fantastic.
Yeah. All right. First one's from Scott, and it's appropriate. He said, what's a comic book movie that you feel like Deadpool can only be done with an R rating? Corey? Any ideas?
Well, I'm probably going to say after Benji made me appreciate this, after because he had me read a Jason Aaron's Wolverine run and seeing him fighting off a legion of demons and people who he sent there in the first place and fighting against the devil himself in hell, I'd say Wolverine is the only thing done well in rated R. Plus, his weapons, his adamantium claws. I mean, he slices and cuts people to bits. That requires an R rating.
Yeah. I feel like Invincible would have to be done with an R rating.
Oh, that's a good pick.
Yeah. Obviously, there's been rumors of a movie happening for a long time, but we haven't gotten anything. But I feel like, yeah, that's one, like, if you're going to do that one, kind of like how they did it with Kick-Ass and Kingsman, you have to, like, go full R rating. There's no way you can skip out on that. Benji? Any ideas?
Damn it. I'm trying to think on it. It's just that it's not coming to me for some reason. I had to. Can I have like a minute to think on it? Y'all discuss on what?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, sure. Hey, Carlos, what do you got?
Watchmen, which is why you had an R rating.
Okay.
I don't think you could have possibly done that movie any way else. I mean, I know it's one that already happened, but I'm just saying is that like that's definitely one that they would never have been able to do.
Like give it proper justice with a PG-13.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. Old Man Logan too.
Oh yeah. If everything's gonna be based around that, and yeah, it definitely has to be rated R. I'm still wondering how they're gonna get around using all the Marvel characters that are in there, like Hawkeye and Hulk. Though that's probably a good thing, 'cause I don't want to see Hulk twisted like that. Mark Miller, he forces his situations.
I think they did a pretty good job in Deadpool of having it be like, you know, here's some Marvel elements from the MCU, like the helicarrier.
Oh, that was a surprise. I did not expect that.
Yeah.
I'm still wondering how the hell they got away with that. Just take off the word any S.H.I.E.L.D. logos and don't refer to it as a helicarrier and that's it? That's all they can do?
I think that's what they did.
That is what they did. Yeah, I'm just wondering how they would manage that.
Yeah,
probably why they call Deadpool an honorary MCU movie.
Yeah,
and I got Bob in there. Bob was a nice surprise.
Yeah. Now Carlos is like, shit. It's technically an MCU film. I have to watch it.
No, it's technically if it was technically an MCU film, then that means that I need to invent a time machine in order to make sure that it doesn't get made in the first place.
Damn, well, screw that.
I'm still saying that if I had a time machine, one of the first things that I would do is erase Deadpool from existence.
That's harsh.
And I would laugh because I would tell everyone that I was about to do it before I did it, but then after I did it, none of you would remember that Deadpool even existed, and I would just laugh.
Harsh reality, well, bro.
I hope you get eaten by giant time monsters.
Well, better yet, I like to see him try to explain it. Like, don't introduce his character. Like, well, would he actually be like a very important character to the Marvel universe? Like, yes, but I don't really like him. But would he make a lot of money and merchandise? Like, yeah, a lot of sum. Damn it, gotta say the words right. And then, like, would he make a great movie? Like, well, sadly, by review standards, yes, and it would make a lot of money by the first week.
Or you just, like, just kill Rob Liefeld, just be done with it. It's not that silly, those shitty drawings.
Yeah, prevent Rob Liefeld from existing, too. I don't want to have to look at your stupid friggin' Captain America art.
Oh, God, that's just grotesque. His whole body is just,
He's like the living Deadpool.
He's like a giant puff monster from Ghostbusters.
All right,
Benji, did you come up with an answer yet?
Oh, yeah. I had to think on it for a minute, but it hit me as soon as I thought about it. It's just like, it's just one of those, it's coming out in, I think, 2017. It's going to be directed by Joseph Gordon-Levitt, if y'all know what I'm talking about.
Sandman.
Yeah, Sandman. I think that I think, you know, for being under Vertigo print, imprint, or print, however you say it, I think it's just, it needs to be R-rated because it's just such a dark, brooding story, and it's just so fucked up beyond so many ways, and there's so many scenarios of rape and just fucked up shit and kittens being tossed into a pond and all that kind of bullshit.
Yeah. Gotta get it right.
Plus that diner scene.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot. Y'all know what Corey's talking about. I had to explain to him that diner scene because that's like, and no matter what comic book I read, the one thing that always will mentally scar me, and I might actually need to see a therapist about it, is the diner scene from the first volume of The Sandman. And it was just such a fucked up moment, and it will always stick with me for the rest of my life.
Wow. I've never read Sandman, so.
Well, if you just want, like, just your feelings just hurt in a lot of ways, and just have, like, a lot of fucked up moments, and just have, like, a lot of ideas about, philosophical ideas, just how, like, life is just unfair, and just how the universe is as fucked up as you think it is, well, just read it.
All right.
Like, if you specifically wanted that feeling, go.
All right. What is a movie franchise?
I would just hang out at the Nihilist Arby's Twitter page, if you know what that is.
Awesome. What is a movie franchise that you think could use the gritty reboot treatment?
Fantastic Four.
Oh, God. I gotta show Benji that movie. He hasn't seen it.
Oh, really?
I'm
you
good.
Ever watch, like, know that feeling you just described, Benji? There, that's gonna be fantastic.
It's not in a good way.
I'm good. I'd rather stick with the cringing idea of Jessica Alba being an invisible woman and having, you know, terrible, you know, special prosthetic effects, you know, the thing, and I'd rather stick with that and Chris Evans Human Torch.
I wanted to go back to those movies after this, which was something
that's sad. That's just sad.
I'd rather see like a Fantastic Four 3. That's what I would see. Like, I would really want
that. I kind of wish they just made a third Fantastic Four movie and then the rights reverted after that. I would have been okay with that, to be honest.
Yeah, because I feel like if I watch Fan4Stick, I just feel like I'm just going in there and I feel like I'm going to watch a man rape a horse for 2 hours straight.
That's probably going to be more entertaining than that.
Yeah, I'd rather go see that. Hell, I can probably look it up online right now and I would actually enjoy that like all night. I would watch like that over and over again. That's probably
now
what
that
I would feel like.
Now we've been put on so many NSA blacklists right now for this episode.
Yeah, thanks, Benji. Down my door.
No, Corey's gonna beat him later. Abusive dad.
Yeah, now, fill up a sock full of soap and beat me with it.
I don't even understand how it's possible that the best Fantastic Four movie is still the one made by Roger fucking Corman.
Oh yeah.
How did that even happen? How?
Yes. Unreleased film from the 90s with even
it's
cheaper
only by default
budget.
I mean, really. The best Fantastic Four adaption was at Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
And actually, that's not even the best Fantastic Four adaption was adaptation is in World's Greatest Heroes, which was the cartoon that they got to themselves, which was a real fucking awesome cartoon, not gonna lie. And I'm like, this is exactly how you need to make a Fantastic Four movie. Just look at that cartoon. Well, look at the comics, but if you need an adaptation to look at that cartoon.
Or better yet, just sell rights to, you know, to Marvel Studios and let us see the Thing fight the Hulk and, you know, let us all get the whole, you know, orgasmic idea of that out of our heads.
just get it out of the way. Then you can do the movie. Maybe that'll be a one shot.
We have yet to answer the damn question.
Wow.
Yeah. I'll put it out there. Dark, gritty remake. Howard Duck.
No, that was the George Lucas film.
How about, no, like, I just think, like, what do you mean the gritty? Like, I feel like dark, gritty reboot is, like, what everyone wants to avoid, because
yeah,
you don't want any more TASMs.
I think his whole idea is that if you had to choose a franchise to just embrace that, what would it be?
Shit.
I feel like The Thing, you know, it's already kind of like
The dark. Thing?
How is that not already dark and gritty?
Yeah, no shit. That's
what I'm saying, like, it works for that movie, though. Like, if you ever did a prequel.
They did do a prequel.
Well, I mean a good prequel. Yeah. Or a sequel.
That's already dark and gritty. From a movie that's already dark and gritty? Come on, Carlos. And Curtis.
Wow.
Okay, my bad. Carlos. We all have Kerr, Carr, and me. Benji's the only one with the actual B. He sounds different. We all sound the same.
Okay, then. Yeah, no. I feel like with The Thing, that franchise works with dark and gritty.
A reboot, dark and gritty? Come on.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's something you can work with because the whole thing about The Thing is not just the, you know, like the alien itself, but just the suspenseful idea of not knowing who is who and everything, and just that whole open-ended idea at the end of the movie, you know, thinking about whether Kurt Russell is the thing or, you know, Keith David is the thing, you know, it leaves that open idea that, yeah, that, you know, that could still be out there and it could, you know, still, you know, fuck shit up.
Yeah.
You know what needs a dark, gritty reboot?
What?
Pokemon.
Did they already do a short film of that?
Yeah.
Yeah, PETA protesting.
Yeah, something like that.
Mm.
Oh. I thought it was kind of funny because they were trying to do realistic Pokemon, but it just did not translate well. It was basically like, here's a yellow rat, it's Pikachu. It's like, no, it's not Pikachu. Nice try, though. Yeah, I guess that's it, really.
I'm trying to think of mine.
Oh, okay.
Fuck. I guess Teletubbies. So he's just so out there, wondering how the hell that would actually work. I'd actually be curious to see how that would look out.
Well, there you go.
All
right, then.
They can be child murderers, and like they can like lure children to the TVs on their bellies, and like and literally when the kids get up to it, like some kind of fucked up monster thing copped out of TV and literally sucks them into their belly with a bunch of blood splattering everywhere and just a bunch of gore, and then like little children's shoes falling out of the bellies. And then the little purple motherfucker goes, blah, 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 blah. Then the fucking vacuum cleaner comes along, like, sucks everything up. So it's like the perfect crime scene scenario. And nobody knows what happened. It goes on for about 4 years straight until you got a fucking Keira Knightley come along being a detective trying to figure out what's going on with all the missing children. And then it comes to a fucking scenario where her daughter comes in danger. God damn it, I got to stop talking because I'm going to go on too long.
Don't want to give them all your ideas, Benji.
Yeah.
Keep them for yourself.
Yeah, we already know that everyone listens to this podcast and steals our ideas, so.
Yeah. Or, if you were to do Teletubby, you could do it, like, pretty much rip off the plot of Majora's Mask, but have that, like, baby son crash into the earth.
Hmm.
You could do that.
Somebody abort the son.
I think I've finally been toppled for saying the worst things on this podcast.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was ever possible. But Benji's trumped me. It's funny. All right. Final email this week is from Brandon. Since making your list of the top 2015 movies, is there any movie you saw in the remainder of 2015 that in retrospect you'd put on the list? Brandon.
Fan Four Stick, no.
Hateful Eight. I didn't see that when we made our list, and then I saw it. I would have put that pretty much at the top. I would have put Creed higher, because I've rewatched that a couple times. I really like Creed. I put that up higher. Yeah, I guess that's pretty much it. What about you guys?
Well, my opinion is, and Corey will kind of, because Corey will kind of, you know, tell you, because I've been yapping his ear off about it, is the It Follows. I always felt like that.
Oh, yeah. That movie's awesome.
Oh, he loves It Follows.
I feel like it revitalized what a horror film should be. It shouldn't be just a bunch of jump scares or just a bunch of blood on the walls. It just gives this suspenseful idea of not to the person in the film, but just to the viewer, just like leaves you on the edge of your seat, just not always expecting like that thing to be around the corner in each scene, you know.
Plus, it's the greatest PSA for safe sex ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you don't have safe sex, you're going to get dead. You're gonna get killed.
Don't even have sex. Just don't, just be asexual.
Have you watched The Guest? Because that's another good horror movie.
I've been seeing it on Netflix, and I see where it gets like 5 stars and everything.
It's good. It's good.
Yeah, if you liked It Follows, you'll probably like The Guest. It's got the same actress in it.
If that's your next, you'll like The Guest.
Oh, your next is amazing. I think The Guest is a little bit better in my opinion, but both are like really good. Anyways, come on, Carlos. You must have watched a movie during our break.
I watched Star Wars again for like the sixth time.
You already put that at number one, so you can't really put that higher.
Yes.
It's like, well, it was number one. It's going to be number one. That's it.
It was. It has since been moved to the number one slot, even though it was
number one. No, it's number one.
But no, I actually did see it for a sixth time in the theaters. It's my current record for number of times I've seen a movie in the theaters.
That's awesome.
Probably that didn't get nominated for Oscar, but then it also had a black guy in it, so I guess that's why.
So true. So true.
Light.
I can just imagine Corey's filling his bag with soap right now so much. He's just waiting.
I don't have soap, so he's good.
Well, I got a couple bars of soap. I just have to hide them. Like, damn it. We gotta hide him while we're doing this, so he don't come out here.
I have a real question for you, Benji. Someone who lives with Corey. What is it actually like to live with the man, the myth, the legend?
It's like living with a grizzly bear that get partially molested you sometimes.
That's great.
I wish
it's funny.
I
no, it's funny because it's true.
Like, you just wake up and Corey's like hanging above you, and he's like, "Hope that was as good for you as it was for me."
You see, there's a horror movie that needs to get made. Corey and Benji.
That could be our first short film.
Saying it out, Corey and Benji sounds like a fucking like TV show for 5-year-olds.
It does, doesn't it?
C&B. That's what they call it.
But you see, that's what's going to make people, that's what's going to lull them into a false insecurity. They're going to be like, oh, this sounds so nice.
It'd be like Happy Tree Friends. Like, at first we're all cute and adorable, but then we get into some real gory shit.
Yeah.
Also, my answer would be Star Wars, actually.
Okay.
Because that was not, I didn't see it yet before I made that my list.
That's true, you didn't. I feel like too, you could call the movie Corey Follows instead of It Follows. It's just Corey Follows. Every time you look over your shoulder, there's Corey.
Yeah, that's why I shower when Corey's not home too.
You shower when I'm home.
Yeah, but
how do you know that, Corey?
Because I can hear him.
I don't know.
Plus, he's shown me things. Oh, he's in the shower.
Oh, whoa. I showed you my shower head that's really colorful. God bless it.
Oh, you showed more than that.
Hey, I feel like these are the sorts of conversations you should have in your own time, damn it.
Honestly, Carlos, this is great.
There could be girls listening to this, Corey. You're ruining what I could be having.
You know
what?
It'd be like a little fantasy. You and me all together in the shower. Some soap.
No. I'd rather explain my bondage fetish than have to explain that kind of shit.
I think it's good enough to end on.
I think that's it. We just ran out of podcast.
It's all over.
Yeah. If there was like a physical storage media for this podcast, we reached the limit. All right. Go check out geekandgamergear.com. Enter nerds for 10% off your order. And yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Email us 3angrynerdspodcast@gmail.com. Tell us, you know, does Carlos have an accent? I mean, we all know he does, but just let him know so he'll admit that it's a problem. Feel free to let us know what you think of Benji. Give some feedback on what you thought about him.
Is he the greatest thing or the worst thing to ever happen to this podcast? Maybe
or somewhere in the middle.
Carlos, we all know that the worst thing to happen to this podcast was Andrew. I mean, that's without a doubt.
I thought right. The worst thing that happened to this podcast was when it started.
No, that was its saving grace.
It'd be better than abortion and a half.
Well, you know, everyone always asks, Curtis, why are you so cautious about having guest stars on? Well, the reason I'm so skeptical is I had one guy on once. His name was Andrew. And all he said is, I have my own podcast. I'd like to be on yours. I'm like, okay, that's fine. Sure. So we had him on. And he must have had, like, some mental disability because he sounded like a retard.
Well, thanks, Gary. I really on here.
That was pretty much it. I mean, you're not actually that far off. And then the great part was, well,
it's 3 Angry Nerds legend. So if you don't know it,
yeah, you should. This would be like the featured wiki page on our Wikipedia all the time. Like it would never change. It was the moment that we thought he left the podcast. So Carlos says, oh, did we finally drop the retard?
Yeah.
He could still see the messages that we sent. And he's like, I'm still here. It was just great. Like, thanks, Carlos.
Good job.
That's what I was doing. I was like, Jesus Christ.
I seriously thought he was going to, like, be out for blood with you, too. Like, it was kind of amazing, though. Because afterwards, I'm like, I apologize on behalf of the podcast. And he's like...
I thought Curtis was going to, like, kick me off the podcast. I was like, fuck.
I know, you're like, so I'm off the podcast, right? I'm like, oh, no. Believe me, there's been worse things said on this podcast. Some of it can be public. Some of it can't be. Anyways, bye for now, everybody.
Wait. You got to tell him where to find us.
Oh, yeah.
I'm redo his fanfic. Well,
I'm in Vancouver. You can find me if you want.
Yeah, okay, Curtis. Right. 3 out of 10.
You smartest little shit.
Benji and Corey, they live in Carolina. And Carlos is in Toronto.
Wait, north or south?
We live in South Carolina. We live where all the cousins fuck each other.
Well, I guess that explains it then.
You don't have to tell us that. I'll just look at the stereotypes, Benji.
Benji, let me ask you a hypothetical. Let's say Corey's late paying rent, or he's a little shy. What would he have to do to make it up?
I mean, you know, in some honesty, man, you know, it, just by how the World Wide Web is, man, you know, I got probably have to go down to Spencer's, buy a dildo, get a webcam, and I have to do my own, like, web show where I gotta, you know, dildo my butthole just to get some money because some guy in Colorado is too shy to get a male prostitute, so he has to watch me dildo my butthole and get paid about $100 an hour just to have some see some guys just, you know, tickle my prostate.
All right. God damn. I think we're done with this podcast. For reals.
You kept pushing it, Curtis.
So, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and read my fanfic.
Well, now that you said it, they're not going to read it.
God damn it.
It's got to come from my mouth.
I was just trying to get shit done.
Go read Doom's fanfic. Bye.
Maybe if you put some Deadpool in your fanfic, maybe some people would read it.
Go fuck yourself.
Oh, God.
You know what? Benji's not allowed on this podcast anymore.
That would be a great... I would actually be interested to see what Carlos's take on Deadpool.